We did have a good time at my dad's church, but I like being at my church. That is my home church. That's where I went for a good portion of time. I grew up going to Victory in Millbrook, but my dad's been there for 13 years, and I've been there off and on pretty much the whole entire time. So that's kind of like home to me. So I was very appreciative that I could go down there and preach for him. But I enjoy being right here. This is a good place to be. We got a letter from Central Alabama Community Foundation. On behalf of Central Alabama Community Foundation, thank you for your gift of $1,000. Per your request, we have placed these funds in the Autauga, Dallas, Elmore Counties Relief Fund. Your gift will be allocated equally to each of the funds which have been established to provide direct relief to those impacted by the recent tornadoes. So that's a good thing that we were able to help a little bit in all that disaster that was going on. They're still, right down from my house, they're still just trying to fix everything. It's amazing. They got people living in campers and things like that who had houses, and it's a disaster. And I don't know how long it'll be a disaster, but it was just a bad situation. My grandfather had some rental properties that got destroyed, and they are just messed up. And it's not really the properties that are the problem, or even the trailers. All that stuff can be replaced and fixed, but I mean, it does hurt income and things like that for people like my grandparents, but it also hurts the families that lived in them. They are out of a home, and that is also a heartbreaking thing. But I'm glad that we could help in some small way to be able to just try to help a little bit and relieve some pressure for them. This morning, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I was studying Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 35. And I was looking at this story that's going on here, and I was thinking about all the things I could preach on it, because you could preach a lot on it. And I'm sure that I will preach on it quite often, and there's different accounts of it. You find an account of it in Matthew, and you find an account of it in Luke, and so there's different ways to preach it, different point of views. And I've told you before, when you look at the Gospels, you get different points of views of the same story, and I think that's really neat to see that. When you start looking and reading the Word of God, you ought to do that. If you ever get over in the Gospels and start reading, don't just read one. Read what the story is, and then go find it in Matthew and Luke and Mark and John and see what they had to say about it, because it's pretty neat to get the perspective from everybody that was involved at the time. But Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning, in verse 35. The Word of God says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." Now, I really want to preach on that one day. I'm going to get into that in a minute. I ain't preaching on this morning, but boy, I want to preach on them other little ships at some point in time. Verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder parts of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to just preach again, Lord. I thank you for the calling on my life, Lord. I pray that you'd help somebody to get something out of the Word of God this morning, Lord. I pray that if somebody's not saved, Lord, they'd get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray it'd be this morning. I pray that you just uplift somebody, encourage somebody, Lord, if they're dealing with something in their life, that, Lord, that this sermon might be able to just help them, Lord. And I pray that you just put me aside, Lord. Let this be nothing of me, Lord. Just let it be all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Most everybody has read this story about 100 times, right? And you've heard it preached on about 100 times, amen? It's common. It's a very common story that's going on here. Everyone thinks one of two ways when a storm comes. Either God's a good God, or He's a bad God for allowing whatever it is to happen in your life. When you pray in the storm, do you see God as caring or uncaring based on how He answers? Storms in life have the ability to bring to surface what's really inside you. Do you truly trust God or not? That's a few questions to ask yourself. Because you see, storms are coming. They're always right there. But it's how you handle the storm that changes everything. The storms can come and they can destroy your whole entire world, but it's how you handle the storm that's important. You see, we say God's good, but yet when everything falls apart in our life, all of a sudden He's not as good as He was. We pray and we ask God to fix the situation and change the situation and have a better outcome, but when He doesn't answer it the way that you think it should be answered, you get mad. I do. Come on now. I'm sorry. I can't do this. Y'all have to just let it go today. Ain't nothing I can do about it. It's hot, okay? Maybe I'll preach better this way. You'll never know. When the storm comes, you freezing, aren't you? You want my jacket? I just took it off. She said Scott was freezing her to death. I'll let her tell you the story. Storms, that's why I like this church. You see, we can have fun. Right in the middle of a sermon, we can have fun. Storms are tests. If you notice in Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, just go back a little bit, Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, this is where the day starts. Jesus is preaching and teaching. And the scribes, they came and they said that He has Beelzebub, which means prince of the devils. You see this go on in chapter 20, and it says, and the multitude cometh together again so they could not so much as eat bread. And when His friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on Him, for they said, He is beside Himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. Now, I read that, and it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It says that he had a devil, he's the prince of the devils, but he's casting out devils. Don't make a whole lot of sense, does it? If you had a devil, why would you try to cast some of them out? Figure you'd just leave them in there, right? Now, I think God's got a little bit of a sense of humor. Amen. I think He does. Because, you see, He answers them. In verse 23, He goes on and He says, And He called them unto Him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So you see, he's having an altercation here with these religious crowd. You know that's what they are, right? That's a religious crowd. They come and tell him he's full of a devil. You're just like one of them, but yet he's casting out the devil. So Jesus says, well, guess what? I'll just tell you, you can't do that. How can Satan cast out Satan? It doesn't make any sense. But you can imagine as he's going on and he's preaching and he's dealing with these things and all these different scriptures, and he started in verse 20 and he goes down through and he gets into verse 35 and he says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." I think he was ready to just take a break, maybe. Amen. I think he was ready to just say, "Can I just have a moment?" And I truly believe that. Why? Because when the storm came, he was asleep. That means he was tired, right? You don't go to sleep unless you're tired. Unless you're me, I can sleep all the time. If I get still long enough, gone. I believe he was tired. I believe he'd been dealing with these people. He'd been preaching. He'd been teaching. He had all these people asking him question after question after question. And what's he do? He tells them, he said, "Let's go to the other side." You see, the other side of things are where things start to get a little tough sometimes, though. When you think about the other side, sometimes you think about it as, oh, if we could just get over there, it'd be a whole lot better. Do you look at life like that? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, right? Except it could be over a septic tank. You ever thought about that? My dad used to talk about that. In my house where I grew up in, the septic tank went out the back side and it would go into the pasture back there in the back. That's where the landfill and all that stuff was. And he'd always sit there and talk about it. He said, "Everybody talks about the grass being greener on the other side." He said, "Yeah, but it's nasty over there." It's nasty over there. Just because it's greener don't mean it's clean and good. It just means it's nasty. So you see, it isn't always that it's better on the other side. Just like our lives, the other side of good health is what? Illness. Sickness. The other side of the honeymoon is a broken relationship. Amen? That honeymoon gets over quickly, don't it? We've all been there. You've wanted to strangle somebody, I know. The other side of good finances is really bad finances, right? Some of y'all been there. When you don't know whether you're going to be able to pay the bill. It's amazing how that stuff can just happen so quickly. Storms are tests, and we have those tests quite often. I believe this storm was a test. I believe when you look at it, you can realize that the storm was a test. It says in verse 36, and I wanted to kind of mention this a little bit, that and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, I kind of think it's cool that when you look at this story and you start talking about all the things that are going on, the little ships don't get mentioned much after everything. But you see, this was the big ship, right? So if the big ship was getting tossed and filled with water, what was the little ships like? But yet, the little ships didn't have a tendency to say, "Hey, God, where are you at?" You don't hear anything about that part, right? I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying you don't hear anything about it. But the one that the disciples were on, guess what? They're questioning things. Yeah, think about it. The disciples on this boat, they're the ones who woke him up. They're supposed to be closer to God than anybody else, right? They've seen all the signs and the wonders, and they've seen the healings, and they've seen all, they said they trusted in God, they believed in who He was. But yet now that the storm has come, but them little ships seem to be trucking right along. I'm just saying. We're going to preach on that, and I'm going to exhaust that one day because I thought it was so good yesterday in my study. Not only are the storms a test, but the storms can happen suddenly. The storms can happen suddenly. Verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." I just want you to think about this. The Sea of Galilee is a smaller body of water, okay? It's only about 13 miles wide and about 7 miles across. It's only 150 feet deep. What makes it so unusual is that it is 700 feet below sea level, way down yonder. And it's surrounded by mountains. Surrounded by mountains. So, you know what happens when the warm air comes and meets that cool air? Down in that valley? Guess what happens? Storms happen like that. And they can be real bad real quick. And what about your life? Don't they seem to come real quickly? Storms don't just... I say they don't. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they manifest themselves over time. But usually storms are one of them things where you think everything's okay and the next day it's there. I think about people like Kevin who dealt with that word cancer. Some of you have dealt with that. You know how it is when you're sitting at the doctor's office and you think everything's fine one day and all of a sudden you're having to go set up an appointment and the next thing you know they say, hey, you've got cancer. You talking about change in your world? It'll change it like that. I think about Kevin. I was talking to him not long before all of this stuff started. And I remember him talking about, well, my stomach just hurts and this is going on. But I'm all right. It ain't no big deal. You know, I'm going to go do this and this. And my plans to travel this summer, I want to do this and that. And that's how most of us are, right? Before the storm comes, everything's great. You just live in life. I think about a lot of those kids I saw in the hospital, how I can imagine that they were just like I am with my child. You're sitting there with a four-year-old and you're thinking about all the things you're going to do this summer. He's telling me he wants to go turkey hunting this year. Amen. He wants to go fishing. I'm like, yeah, we're going to do all that this summer. We're going to go fishing, and we're going to go turkey hunting, and we're going to do all that fun stuff. But you know, in a moment, it could change. In a moment, it could change. Does that make God bad? No. God's God. He makes the rules. You play by His rules. God's never sitting there taken back by a storm. There's no storm that comes up that God goes, man, I didn't see that one coming. Not even this one. Not even this one. You imagine that wind's just blowing this boat back and forth and it's going and it's going and things are starting to fill up in the boat. And you could almost think that maybe this took God by surprise, but yet when they come to the ship, in the hinder part, He was asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him. Guess what? That storm didn't even wake Him up. That's what my wife says about me. I can sleep straight through a tornado. Doesn't make any difference. But if lightning happens, I'm awake, boy. Woo! First crack of thunder, she might be snoring and I'll be awake. I don't get too uptight about bad weather, but I see Jesus Christ sitting here and He's just chilling, just sleeping, just as calm as can be. Why? Because His faith ain't like yours. His faith does not waver. His faith is always firm. He knew exactly who God was. Why? Because He was God Himself. God does not try to trick us. He's not trying to hide something from you. God is upfront and honest about the storms in life. We find this in Job 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Ain't that amazing? He just lays it out there and says, hey, this is going to be tough. He goes on in John 16 and verse 33 and says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but through Jesus Christ, boy, you can have some peace. You see, that's the difference. When you get down into verse 40 and it says, "And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Not some, not a little bit. He said you have no faith. You've been in that place with no faith? I have. These are good people. These are disciples, the ones that followed God. They should have had more faith than all of us. But in this instance, they have no faith. I think it's funny how God sits there and says, "Hey, why are you worried about this? Don't you believe I can get you to the other side? I thought you knew who I was. I thought you trusted me just a little bit. I was just fine sleeping, and you had to wake me up for this? I've been preaching, I've been teaching all day long, dealing with all these crazy people. Amen. And you go wake me up for this? Man, why do you have no faith?" Why is it that we lose our faith? Because we don't believe what we say. When a storm comes in your life, you don't believe what you say. You don't believe what you preach. You don't believe what you read. It all of a sudden goes out the window, right? And all of a sudden you start wavering back and forth saying, "Well, I don't know if God's as good as He said He was going to be. He's not here in this situation apparently. Guess what? He said He'd never leave you and He'd never forsake you. He's not going anywhere. He's right here all the time." You see, I think this was a time for them to build some faith. I think God used this as a test to be able to sit there and say, "Hey, disciples, guess what? I'm going to always get you through it. If you'll just trust me, guess what? The other side's coming. We're going to make it just fine. You might be a little wet, and you might be a little scared, but I'm right here. I'm in the boat with you." You know, as a saved Christian, you can say that, right? God's in the boat with you. Now, if you're not saved, it's a different story. You on your own. Just going to say it like it is. You on your own if you ain't got God in your life. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He's in the boat with you every time. Every storm you go through, every trial that comes up, He is always right there willing to help you. You just got to have a little faith and lean on Him every once in a while. It don't mean that it ain't going to get hard, because it was hard. It don't mean that you ain't going to get scared, but guess what? That's all right to be scared. Just know God's right there. And they wake Him up. And this is where, I'm going to tell you right now, if I could like pump a video where you could see my study, it'd be better than my preaching. Because last night, I got in that little office. And I had made it up about this point, okay? I had made it, I'd been studying all week, made it to this point. And when I got to this one last night, whoo, it got on. And it probably won't be nearly as good as it was in that little bitty office, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you could have seen it, you'd have had you a time too. Verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, the storm is a test, and the storms come suddenly. But there's also something else about a storm. Usually that's where you can find God, right? In the storm, that's where you can find God. You know what manner of man He was? He's the one that spoke into existence the very water that came into the ship. That's what manner of man He was. You know what manner of man He was? He was the one that spoke into existence the very wind that tossed the boat to and fro. He was the one that knew the storm was coming and allowed it to happen. He allowed the storm to come. He's also the one who kneeled down and picked up dirt, formed it, and breathed life into it and made a living soul. Why? So that one day they could get on a boat and say, hey, I ain't got no faith and I need you, God. I need you, God. He's also the one that would go to a hill called Golgotha and shed his blood for each and every one of us so that we could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what manner of man he was. He's the one that came by a K-4 classroom and talked to a 9-year-old boy and said, I know you don't deserve it. I know that you don't deserve it. But if you accept this free gift of salvation, guess what? I'll give you free gift of salvation. I will give you this gift, and I'll give you this gift of eternal life, and you can have it for free. You can have it for free. He's also the one that said everything won't always be easy. But the storms will come. But I will never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. What manner of man is this? Like they didn't know. Like they didn't know. He's just God. He's always been God. He's always been good. Every trial you get into, guess what you ought to think about? You ought to think about the day that He died on the cross for your sins. Every single time that a storm comes up in your life and you don't know how to handle it, why don't you just look at the cross for just a second? Because I think that's a pretty big storm. You see, when Jesus Christ went to that cruel Roman cross, that was a storm. Why? Because He could have called 10,000 angels, right? You see, I know what He could have done. He could have said, you know what, I am not going to do this anymore. I don't have to. I am God. I created. I spoke into existence the very mountain that I stand on. Have you ever thought about it? That at some point in time, God said, hey, here's where that tree is going to be. I'm going to plant that one right there. That'll be easy for them to get to it when they need it. You ever thought about that? The very tree that hung him on, He created it. The very single tree. I believe He put it real close so they didn't have to walk very far for it. He said, this would be a good sturdy one right here. He gave them the ability to make the nails that He put in His hands and His feet. He allowed it. He allowed it. Think about this. He formed out of the dirt man who He knew would crucify Him. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to mess up. And it's hard for my mind to comprehend all that. Guess what? There's some things we ain't supposed to be able to comprehend. I don't know if y'all know that or not. There's some things I can't explain. You can ask me all the questions of the world. Don't mean I can always give you an answer. Sometimes it just is what the Bible says it is. That's the way that is. I don't know how God knew they were going to mess up and still said, you know what? Here. I'm going to let you try it anyway. But He did. And you see, I'm a dispensationalist, and we teach and preach all that stuff, and I'm telling you right now, I know what God came to do. I know that He sent His Son to set up His king. I know all that stuff, but I still know that God knew that, hey, it was going to be me at some point in time come along, and He was going to need a Savior. And He wasn't going to be able to keep all the law, and He wasn't going to be able to do all the works. He wasn't going to be able to do all that stuff. So I'm just going to die on a cross for His sin so that He can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all He's got to do is accept that free gift of salvation. You see, that's what manner of man He is. When the storm comes your way, why don't you just think on the things of God? Why don't you just think about how good He has been in your life? Because at some point in time, He's been good. At some point in time, He's been good. Now, I understand there's been bad moments, but at some point in time, you can think back to a good moment. But we don't want to think about those things as much as the bad. But guess what? There's a whole lot of good. And He's always walked with you, if you think about it. He's always been right there. It doesn't matter what the trial is. He's always said, you know what, I'll go through with it. I'm in the boat with you. He didn't leave the disciples. I don't figure He'd leave you. Amen. I don't believe He'd leave you if He wouldn't leave them. I don't believe He'd change. You know, God has always been the same, right? He's always the same. He's never changed. The way that He handles situations here is the same way He handles situations now. You say, well, it's not. It is pretty much exactly the same. When you go through a storm, He's right there. He was with the disciples. Guess what? He's with you. If you didn't believe Him, you didn't trust Him, guess what? You weren't a part of it. Just like now, if you reject the free gift of salvation, guess what? You're not a part of it. You want to know what manner of man this is? He's God manifest in flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? That's what manner of man He was. He was God. I don't care what everybody on Facebook gets start saying and about the Trinity not being the same. I'm telling you right now, it's the Father, it's the Son, the Holy Ghost, that's the Godhead. It's all three manifest in one. That's what it is. That's what the Bible says it is. When you start trying to mess with it, probably getting a different Bible. Amen. We're trying to corrupt this one. When I sit here and look at these stories and I think about these parables and I think about all the things that He had went through just in this day, and you ought to go back. You ought to start reading in chapter 4 and just read all the different parables that He goes through. They're good. You ought to read every single one of them. You'll see the things that He dealt with as He goes through that day. You'll see the things that He's preaching. You can imagine Him wanting to just get away for a second. But you can see in this story when it gets down into here that it was just a test. It was just another test for another set of people. You see, God's always trying to help you. God's always trying to just encourage you and help you in the situation you're dealing with. I think He understood that, hey, I've been preaching, I've been teaching, but these disciples, they've been sitting there saying they're right with me, but let's just see how faithful they truly are. You ever thought about that? Maybe the trial you're going through is God saying, let's see. Let's see, big boy. Let's just see how faithful you think you are. Is it tough? Yeah. But God allowed it, right? Because if God wanted to take it away, He would. But God don't always take it away. Sometimes you have to deal with it. Sometimes it's part of your own doing. Sometimes you put yourself in those situations. You live your life a certain way, and guess what? That just means you have to lay in the bed you make, kind of deal. God's always right there with you, though. The storms are tests. The storms happen quickly. But my favorite part is the storms will always show you who God is. If you don't know what manner of man this is this morning, I would come get that settled. I wouldn't let another single solitary day go by without knowing who Jesus Christ was. And knowing that I believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I would not let it go another day. Maybe you're dealing with one of those storms and those trials, and maybe you need to give it to God. We all deal with them. Give them to God. Let Him have them. He's going to walk with you right through it. But you're going to have a whole lot better time if you just say, God, I know You got this under control. Miss Barb, I want you to come to the piano and play whatever you'd like. Everybody stand to your feet, bow your head, close your eyes.